This is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health. We're about bringing you 21st century approaches to personal growth and habit change. This includes letting the body lead, so your mind doesn't have to. There are as many troublesome habits as there are people on the planet. Most of us have helpful habits as well. In this show, we share holistic perspectives to support you in the path to change, so that you can turn around those habits that are creating problems for yourself or others. Do you worry a lot? The other day, I had a conversation with a friend who posed the question about how to help someone she knows who can't stop worrying. In this episode, let's explore the habit of worrying, how it affects us and the people around us. Most of us worry at some time or another. Some of us do so much of it that it gets in the way of living. Before we talk about this, though, let's first tune into ourselves in a sensory way. If you've listened to this show before, you know that I like to support everyone in body-oriented practices. They open our energy to exploring our topic in a more holistic way, rather than just from our heads. If you're visiting our show for the first time, welcome. For our opening exercise, we'll take a few minutes to practice noticing in a particular way. Just let your attention go to something physical in you that stands out, something that's making itself apparent. I want to remind you that you don't have to do anything differently right now. Trust that there's nothing you need to fix or correct. Many times when something comes to our attention, we automatically do something to change it, especially if we feel a tightness or a tension or something we don't like, or that we perceive that someone else won't like. Instead, I invite you to be with your physical experience rather than trying to correct it, at least for the moment. Also in our world, we are so used to being aware of what we're thinking that we don't attend to our physical experience. For instance, if you find yourself trying to figure out where you feel something, or wondering what I mean, then let your attention go to your forehead, above your eyes, between your eyes, around each temple to the side of your eyes, and even behind your eyes. Often, most of us don't realize, as we're going about our daily activities, that we may ache or have a discomfort. We kind of set it aside in our busyness. So until you sit quietly, you might feel, oh my goodness, my lower back is aching, or I feel this pinch in my neck. You might also become aware of whether these physical feelings shift and change. Often they do. The specific sensory experience you're noticing right now doesn't matter so much in this moment, because the orientation is about being with, knowing that you don't have to do anything except to notice. You can do this whether you're sitting, standing, walking, driving. For instance, just for a moment, look at something. And recognize that seeing is not just about what you're doing with your eyes themselves, but also the way you use the muscles around your eyes to see. Another example, maybe you're aware that your lips are pursed, or that you've tightened in your legs. Just notice that. Perhaps you could, slowly rub your tongue on the back of your lower teeth, and then the upper teeth. Maybe you feel a tickle against your gums as you do this. You can notice the moisture in your mouth and the sense of the space inside. Over time, in this way, just by giving yourself the gift of some time, you can become more capable of recognizing your signals and not just brushing them off. Just notice. From time to time in this show, I'll invite you to notice something in the moment. The first step in creating change is just noticing what there is without an agenda about what should be there. Having an agenda about what should be happening can cover the truth about what is happening, and this can make it harder to change. You're listening to Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley, and we talk about holistic and somatic ways of nudging those habitual behaviors that get in the way of satisfaction and success. You can find out more at habitsintohealth.com. In this episode, we're talking about the habit of worrying. As I was saying a few minutes ago, my friend was concerned about someone she knows who worries so much that it affects just about everything. Maybe you've experienced this yourself sometimes. Maybe you've experienced it a lot. I can remember times when worry was such a steady companion, I didn't even know that it was not such a good companion to have around. I was just doing it. When I was in my 20s, worry led me to toss and turn many a night. Malcolm Gladwell wrote about how we humans build expertise in his book Outliers. You may have heard about it. He reports about research that confirms that the more we do something, the better we get at doing that. Well, now, doesn't that just seem like common sense? Well, it's always fun when research proves what we already know. He also says, well, it turns out that people need to invest about 10,000 hours of attention to become an expert on a subject. In an ordinary life, that's about 20 years, because none of us is doing anything 24/7. So if this is true to become the top realtor in your area, or to be really good at hitting baseballs over a fence, or paint a picture, wouldn't that be true of anything? I think so. And I wonder how many of us inadvertently become experts in worrying because we're ruminating, worrying over and over and over again. Worrying is also considered to be a thinking thing. But if you consider this closely, can't you kind of tell when someone is preoccupied? People who are worrying are actually exhibiting their mood in a physical way. Maybe they're crinkling their eyes or making a frown, hunching their shoulders. We human beings aren't good at mind reading. We don't know exactly what the thoughts are inside someone else's head. So we may not know what someone is worried about, but we actually depend on our ability to body read to discern whether someone else is approachable or not. We take this so for granted that we don't even realize that we have physical patterns that are associated with thinking, with worrying, or whatever is going on. So if you can begin to become attuned to this in yourself, you can begin to make small shifts in your bodily pattern. Instead of pressuring yourself to think of something else or to stop thinking about what you're worrying about, the experience of relief can come from making contact with yourself in a bodily way, and then managing that physical experience. It's much more effective to shift your attention toward the muscular action pattern that's going on when you're worrying. Trying to outthink yourself just leads to that endless loop where you're chasing the content of what you're worrying about, like a dog that runs in circles chasing its tail. Let's do something for a few minutes. Even if you're not worrying about something right in the moment, I'll call out some examples of where you can put your attention. Perhaps you can realize, for instance, that when you're worrying about something, you're compressing your forehead into a frown. Maybe right now you're pressing your lips together or tightening your jaw. This may seem simple, but it takes practice to really begin to attend to this. In the beginning of bringing this kind of attention up front, most people easily slip into thinking about what's going on or wondering what this is all about. As best you can, Just stay with your physical sensation. Maybe you've stilled yourself in your chest so that you're holding your breath. What happens with your energy when you simply attend to this? Perhaps you're tightening in your neck or loosening in your jaw or lower back. Make no judgment about tightening or loosening, good or bad. Just be attentive. And yes, you might find that what you're preoccupied about sneaks its way back in onto the front burner, as it were. When that happens, become engaged in your physical process. Shift your attention to something that is concrete and practical. Sometimes shifting your attention means trying out things that seem counterintuitive, like they make no sense. Recently, I read an article by Maria Popova. She's the founder and editor-in-chief of Brain Pickings. And she's writing about the neuroscience of Bobby McFerrin's well-known song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. In 1988, this song became the first a cappella song to reach number one on the Billboard Top 100 chart. Popova points out research that links worry to heart disease, for instance. While there are positive benefits for our health of social support that reduces problems associated with worry and stress. I'll just share a few things from her article, which is published in dailygood.org. It's a wonderful resource for living a value-based life. Just go to dailygood.org and search for the words, Don't Worry, Be Happy. And you can find the song on YouTube. Here's a phrase from the song that Popova discusses. Because when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. Popova writes, quote, mirror neurons are one of the most important and fascinating discoveries of modern neuroscience. Neurons that fire not only when we perform behavior, but also when we observe that behavior in others. In other words, neural circuitry that serves as social mimicry, allowing the expressed emotions of others to trigger a reflection of these emotions in us. Frowns, it turns out, are indeed contagious. End quote. Then there's the line, put a smile on your face, in the song, which reminds me of one of those old wives' tales, smile and you'll feel better. Popova cites a study by psychologist Paul Ekman, who found that voluntarily smiling actually generates positive emotions. So Granny and her peers were onto something, and they didn't need Western science to prove it to them. They knew from another kind of research, empirical research. Experience is what taught them that when your mood dips into the shadows with worry or some other kind of negativity, a very effective method for lifting your mood is to change something in your body, specifically, in this case, to smile. So doing something physical has a positive and beneficial effect. You may have heard of Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist monk and teacher of peace and forgiveness. The smile meditation that he leads is one of my favorites. And I'll admit, it's not easy to do if you feel self-conscious, especially when you don't feel like smiling and you're in a public place like a bus or on a commuter train or riding in a carpool. Still, when we smile, it's a straight shot of medicine to the brain. It's not the only antidote to worry, but it certainly helps. Join me in giving this a try. This exercise, the smile meditation, by the way, is excerpted from Thich Nhat Hanh's book, The Heart of the Buddha's Teaching. He guides us. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. After saying these sentences, we can abbreviate them by saying in as we breathe in and out as we breathe out. We don't try to control our breathing. Whether our in-breath is long or short, deep or shallow, we just breathe naturally. When we do this, we notice that in fact, our breathing does become slower and deeper naturally. Breathing in, my in-breath has become deep. Breathing out, my out-breath has become slow. Now we can practice deep, slow. We don't have to make an extra effort. It just becomes deeper and slower by itself. And we recognize that. Then he says, later on you will notice that you have become calmer and more at ease. Breathing in, I feel calm. Breathing out, I feel at ease. I am not struggling anymore. Calm, ease. And then, breathing in, I smile. Breathing out, I release all my worries and anxieties. Smile, release. We are able to smile to ourselves and release all our worries. The last practice is, breathing in, I dwell deeply in the present moment. Breathing out, I know this is a wonderful moment. Present moment, wonderful moment. Nothing is more precious than being in the present moment, fully alive and aware. Let's continue a couple of cycles using just the shorthand. In, out. Deep. Slow. Calm. Ease. Smile. Release. Present moment. Wonderful moment. Don't be concerned if your timing of your breath is faster or slower than mine. If you begin to practice these words and follow your breath in your own timing, in your own rhythm, you can have results that you're looking for. In. Out. Deep. Slow. Calm. Ease. Smile. Release. Present moment. Wonderful moment. Notice your mood as you practice smiling, even in the face of challenges in your life. It will take practice over time to become more effective. The good news is you can develop skills and capabilities in trying this simple exercise long before you have practiced it for 10,000 hours, because you don't have to be an expert to benefit from small changes in your journey, step by step. For most people, perhaps even you, saying goodbye to your worrying habit will take more than one type of exercise. So you can just add the smile meditation or some variation of it into your personal skill set. In other shows, I'll bring more of these kinds of perspectives to support you in creating a plan that works for you in creating your change of habit. We're all in this together, and everyone can benefit from what you are learning. So I welcome your questions and comments at habitsintohealth.com. You can find articles and resources, as well as this and other podcasts, on the website that I hope will be helpful for you. You have been listening to Habits Into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future.